Hey guys, and welcome to Mysteries and Histories with me, your host, Georgia Marie. This podcast audio is adapted from my YouTube channel. I wanted to make my content more accessible for those of you on the go, and we all love a podcast. So if I ever reference anything on screen or a photograph, please bear in mind this audio was originally made for video. It won't hinder your listening experience at all, but just to save any confusion. And if you do want to go and subscribe to my channel, I'm just Georgia Marie over on YouTube. And with that, let's get into it. Hey guys, and welcome back. Or if you're new here, hi, my name's Georgia. And on my platforms here on the internet, I focus on mostly true crime, but also a lot of history as well. Today I have an absolutely wild story for you, like the kind of story that you wouldn't even imagine to be real, because who on earth would think that this was a good idea? But it was real, it happened. We're going to be talking about the somewhat infamous event known as Balloon Fest 86, in which over a million colourful balloons were released at the same time into the sky of Cleveland, Ohio. Sounds magical, right? A real spectacle. Which I suppose it was for all of 10 minutes, and then it just turned into a bit of a disaster. Before we get into the chaos though, let's set the scene. So this idea came from a Cleveland charity called United Way, who wanted to break a Guinness World Record and hopefully do some fundraising at the same time. They knew that to raise the most money, it had to be this big spectacle, something that really drew people in, something people would be willing to pay money to see. And what's more of a spectacle than setting the world record for the largest simultaneous balloon release? The record they were going to attempt to break had been set by Disneyland California just a few months beforehand in December 1985. Disney had done this to celebrate the park's 30th anniversary alongside Walt Disney's 84th birthday. And at this event, more than 2,000 local high school students woke up before dawn to fill up 1.2 million balloons in two big top tents on the park's main parking lot. From the sources available, it looks like this event at Disney went off without a hitch, apart from the obvious environmental concerns. So when in March 1986, United Way were coming up with fundraising ideas, a very similar event seemed like a great idea. They could piggyback directly off of Disney's success, and so they went about planning this event. And the planning, of course, would take a number of months. United Way of Greater Cleveland is a charity which helps mobilise and empower the residents of Greater Cleveland to help them break the cycle of poverty. Although this event, Balloon Fest, would be a bust, the charity genuinely does really good things in the local community. Like, this isn't a slight against the charity at all. There weren't any bad intentions in doing this. I just find it really hard to believe that there was nobody who raised any issues with this idea. Like, this went through a whole 6 month planning process and nobody thought to be like, have we really thought this through? I mean, even the city of Cleveland itself got behind this event fully, and I suppose they had to, seeing as the charity needed this large open space to hold the event. It took a while for them to get hold of all these sort of required permits, and then it was a go. City officials even said that they hoped Balloon Fest would help put Cleveland on the map, that Cleveland would no longer be the butt of the joke and people would take them seriously from then on. Which is pretty ironic considering what would come to happen. Obviously, an event like this takes a lot of planning, and so they pulled in professional balloon artist Treb Heining. Did you know balloon artists were a thing? I did not, apparently they were. Treb owned LA-based company Balloon Art by Treb, and they also got a project manager on board as well, who was Tom Hollowock. The plan was to aim for the release of 2 million balloons, the majority of which were to be inflated on the morning of the event for a planned release that same afternoon. But what were they going to do with the balloons before the release? Well, of course, they needed some sort of structure to hold them in, a job that Hollowock was charged with. Whatever this structure was needed to comply with all the local building codes whilst also being able to withstand up to 60 mile per hour winds, because of course, the night before this event, there was a massive storm, but we'll get to that later. The final product they designed to hold in all these balloons was this sort of like massive woven mesh net created by a company that previously built the cargo nets for the space shuttle. These were hardcore nets. The structure was set up over the southwest end of Cleveland's public square and ended up being the size of an entire block. It was 250 foot by 150 foot and was 3 stories tall. It was massive. The net was secured to the ground, but the aforementioned storm from the night before caused pandemonium, and people had to work through the night to ensure that everything was safe to go ahead the next day, and to ensure that all the balloons that had already been blown up weren't about to escape. That would have been an absolute nightmare. And luckily, it was all good, panic over, the next morning they got the go-ahead. A huge amount of volunteers turned up at Public Square to begin the inflations, with Treb Heining saying in a TV interview that morning that he thought the kids, because it was mostly high school kids, could blow up 2 to 3 balloons every minute, estimating about 700 balloons each. They should be able to reach the 2 million goal in just a few hours. The kid volunteers also sold sponsorships for United Way, so it was $1 for 2 balloons, because remember, this was a fundraising event for charity. It seems through just this alone, selling balloons, they were able to raise $220,000, which is a huge amount of money. Although the event ended up costing $500,000, so they didn't actually manage to fundraise anything in the end. I know when I first started researching this, I was picturing thousands of kids literally blowing up balloons manually with their breath. I was wondering how on earth this worked. How were they doing 2 to 3 balloons a minute? But obviously they used helium to inflate them, which is much quicker, although significantly less environmentally friendly. Helium is a non-renewable resource. Once it's gone, and you can only imagine just how much was used up for the sake of this stunt. All morning, people were inflating balloons and tying them before releasing them up into the huge net above them. In what I suppose is a nice change from my usual content, although this was a silly idea, it wasn't actually directly responsible for anyone's death. The biggest injuries we're dealing with were fingers covered in blisters from the repeated tying of balloons. Kids literally had hands covered in plasters or band-aids. As the event went on throughout the day, the weather was becoming more and more threatening, forcing the organisers to make an emergency decision to release the balloons earlier than expected. At 1:50pm, with 1,429,643 balloons in total, so just shy of 1.5 million, they were officially released. And I must admit, from the footage I've seen, it was quite a spectacle. It was very, very pretty. But I suppose this is the folly of man, isn't it? Like, going to all this effort for a brief moment of visual pleasure without any thought of the consequences of their actions. Tens of thousands of people stood on Public Square and the surrounding blocks to watch this release. And then the drama started. I really don't know where they thought the balloons were going to go after the release, because they certainly weren't just going to sort of float up into space and disappear. Helium balloons can only rise to about 10 kilometres until the pressure gets the better of them and they burst, the latex falling back down to Earth. I do think that's essentially what the organisers thought would end up happening. They said it was fine as the balloons were biodegradable. But were they just expecting the city to be okay covered in brightly coloured latex bits until they eventually decomposed anywhere from 6 months to 4 years later? Were they just going to leave the balloons out for the wildlife to go mad on? Like, even in this best case scenario, it wasn't great. What happened in actuality is the balloons started to travel north over Lake Erie, where they came into contact with a cold front from the storm the night before, and the balloons were immediately blown back down south towards the city. More than 1 million of the balloons dropped back down to the ground almost immediately, settling in the lake and the streets of Cleveland. They blocked waterways and just caused unimaginable chaos and litter. A number of balloons ended up on the runway of Burke Lakefront Airport, causing it to close for half an hour, which caused flight delays for the passengers. Which I know isn't the end of the world, but it is annoying and it could have been avoided. I mean, what if a plane was taking off and one of the balloons got caught in the engine? Like, that could have caused fatalities. A number of the balloons falling back down to the ground in the city ended up distracting drivers, obviously, and there was a 10-car collision on the westbound Shoreway because of the balloons just on the road. People were either trying to avoid them or they were just distracted by them. It was pure luck that it was all minor and nobody was seriously hurt. Sadly, I can't say the same for animals though. A number of the balloons travelled all the way south past Cleveland to Medina County, where they started to land in horse fields owned by Louise Nowakowski. Louise had a number of Arabian horses, which, speaking from personal experience, are beautiful horses but very sensitive. One of the horses was so spooked by the balloons that she ran straight into a fence and suffered permanent injuries, costing wild amounts in vet bills. As a horse girl myself, I can sympathise with Louise. I live in fear of fireworks, balloons, Chinese lanterns landing in my pony's field. Luckily, he's not easily spooked, but he is a very greedy new forest, and who knows what he'll eat. If a bit of latex lands in his field, I would not put it past him to eat it and colic. If something like this happened to him, I would be furious. I've known of so many horses get spooked and die from running into things in panics or just from dropping dead from heart attacks. It's a real thing that happens every year. So yeah, Louise was understandably furious and actually ended up suing United Way for $100,000 of damages. Knowing how much vet bills cost, I'd say it was actually on the more conservative end, but she did eventually end up settling for an undisclosed amount. And this definitely wasn't even the worst thing to happen as a result of Balloon Fest. I've already referenced the massive storm that happened the night before, but about an hour before the storm started, around 7 p.m, two men, 39-year-old Bernard Sulzer and 40-year-old Raymond Broderick, had gone out fishing on Lake Erie. By 8:30 p.m, a storm was ripping its way through Cleveland, 40 to 60 mile per hour winds and rain so heavy, streets flooded. The pair had planned to finish their fishing trip just before midnight, and when they didn't come home by the next morning, their families reported them as missing. The Coast Guard went out to search for them, and they found their 16-foot aluminium boat anchored just west of the breakwall. Their life jackets and a pair of tennis shoes were found floating nearby. All of their fishing gear was in the boat, along with a flooding of water, whilst the engine and gas tank were both missing. It was speculated that the storm had capsized the boat and it had later turned itself back over, and that the men had anchored in this position in an attempt to swim to the breakwall and save their lives. All morning, the Coast Guard searched the lake for the men, looking for a bright orange life jacket or a head bobbing in the water. Helicopters, divers and boats all went out in search, but they had to take a break when the weather started to get worse again, at which point the balloons were released. When the search resumed shortly after, the balloons had all settled on the lake. Hundreds of thousands of brightly coloured round balloons floating on the surface of the water, each of which could easily be mistaken for a life jacket or a head. In planning, it was estimated that 10% of the balloons would end up on the lake. In the end, it was 60%. That's around 900,000 balloons settling on the surface. What should have been a fairly easy search for the two men was now like looking for a needle in a haystack. It became impossible to search. So many hours after the storm, who knows if the men would still have been alive at this point, but that was the hope, and now hopes were all dashed. The search and rescue helicopter couldn't even fly ahead over more thanks to the balloons in the air, and the Coast Guard couldn't search the surface. After 2 days, the Coast Guard were forced to call off the search for the men, and both their bodies would sadly wash up on the shore over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, Balloon Fest wasn't directly responsible for the men's deaths. That was most likely the fault of the storm. But the balloons did delay the search for them. Who knows if they'd been found alive or not? We just don't know. And it also prolonged the pain for their families. As you can imagine, in their grief, they were furious. Raymond's wife, Gail Broderick, would also end up suing United Way for a whopping $2 million, but just like Louise, she would end up settling for an undisclosed amount. This fundraising event ended up costing United Way in both cash and reputation. But also, it did indirectly make people more aware of them. Had you heard of United Way before this episode? Most likely not, but now you have. The same likely stood for media at the time. Whilst directly this cost United Way a lot of money, the event or disaster probably did a lot more for brand awareness. As we can probably figure, the event did face severe backlash, although at the time United Way representatives did maintain that it was definitely a success. People weren't happy though, even at the most basic level, because this beautiful spectacle turned into an environmental disaster. How many of those balloons ended up in the lake? The latex ended up being eaten by fish and other lake dwellers. The same for the balloons that ended up on land. What was eaten by wildlife? It's said that thousands of deflated balloons would be washing up on Canadian beaches for weeks or months after this event. And that's a lot of cleaning up. That takes a lot of money. On top of this, think about the helium, this non-renewable resource used up for this very frivolous event. Helium that we can just never get back. It does seem like a massive waste. In the grand scheme of disasters, is Balloonfest the worst thing that ever happened? Of course not. Was it stupid and not really thought through? Could it have been avoided? Yes, absolutely. In my research for this, I kept seeing sources say that no one could foresee the chaos that would come, but like, they definitely could have if they just thought about it a bit more. I always say in a lot of my historical content that a lot of the time you just don't think about or see certain consequences until the first time they happen, until tragedy strikes and laws are enacted to ensure that it never happens again. Personally, I would suggest that this story doesn't fall under that umbrella. I mean, what do they think is going to happen when they release 1.5 million balloons into the sky at once? This was just a marketing stunt gone wrong, which is what I think really made people angry. But it was for charity, it had good intentions, even if it did backfire. And at the end of the day, all publicity is good publicity. In total, just under 1.5 million balloons were released that day, and they did indeed beat the Guinness World Record. A lot of sources say that thanks to the disaster, Guinness refused to accept this record, but I have no clue where that rumour came from, because the record was indeed featured in the 1988 edition of the book as the largest ever mass balloon release, before the category was swiftly abolished the next year to ensure that nothing like this ever happened again. This is no longer an official record that can be broken, so just don't try it. Anyway, mass releases like this are now banned in a number of US states and countries around the world. It is just not worth it. As I said earlier, is Balloonfest the worst thing that's ever happened in this world? No, like, not by a long shot. Like, it was fine in the end. Like, whatever, it was fine. Was it silly? Yes, it was silly. Could have been avoided. 100%. But hey, humans just like pretty, sparkly, shiny, bright, colourful things. That's just what we are as a race. It is truly a wonder how we are still alive today, honestly. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you've made it all the way to the end of this video, then maybe I can tempt you into becoming a channel member. You can join my channel membership for just £2.99 a month. You get 24-hour early access to all my videos. You get first refusal on video requests. I reply to all your comments, we can have chats, it's a great little fun time. I really enjoy this channel, I really enjoy being able to make this content for you guys, but YouTube is notoriously unreliable, so my channel memberships just really keep the train chugging along. So if you are interested in joining, honestly, it would mean so much to me. You can click the button below this video, and I will see you in the next one, I suppose. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.